Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Andy Black, President and CEO of the Association of Oil Pipelines.
How about the natural gas revolution that's happening? Just some of the things that are going on with automobiles and transportation, and just the future of natural gas is looking extremely bright to where it's going to become more of a consumer-based product. How is the construction of the natural gas pipelines?
Natural gas pipelines are growing just like crude oil and natural gas liquids pipelines. I don't represent them, so I don't know the particular stats, but just like we need all energy sources today, we need all technologies in terms of powering our automobiles. There's growth in propane cars and natural gas cars, just as there is in renewable energy and biofuels, but for generations, we're still going to be using gasoline and diesel fuel in our cars. We're going to need crude oil and refined products to be able to move throughout our country for as long as any of us listening today are driving.
I agree with that, a lot of energy companies are coming to this more balanced portfolio, and that's primarily why I brought up the question to Andy Black, Association of Oil Pipelines. Didn't mean to slip a natural gas one in there, but wanted to ask you one more question about water issues. We have a protest going on in North Dakota, and the primary reason is had to do with the aquifers and the water part. Now, if you want to comment on the protest, you certainly can, but I won't hold you to it. I more wanted to ask you about the safety with water and pipelines. Is that something that your organization gets into?
Absolutely. We need pipelines to operate in ways that protect water supplies. The issue that you mentioned that's been protested is probably the Dakota Access Pipeline, and the question is the crossing of the Missouri River at Lake Oahe. The crossing of the Missouri River is going to be using new technology for constructing pipelines. We'll be doing a horizontal directional drill that goes about 100 feet under the Missouri River through rock, never coming in contact with the river itself. And that is a leading practice for a lot of water crossings, and it's done to minimize the chance that any water is affected by the unlikely possibility of a pipeline incident. Protecting the water is an important part of what pipeline operators do. They've got trained emergency response professionals out there to try and stop any release from reaching water, and then control room professionals who are trained to identify any sign of a leak and have the authority to stop a pipeline from operating in the sign of a leak, all to try and protect the environment. And we've seen that the safety record shows that the number of incidents and the size of pipeline incidents has been decreasing over the last 5 years, over the last 20 years. We need to keep doing more research to improve the ability of pipeline operators to protect that water. But it's crucial, as you say.
And I'll give you final thoughts, just anything that you might want the listening audience to know about your organization or pipelines. But that way the question's not framed by me. I'll give you the free rein to kind of take whatever direction you want. So we've got Andy Black, President and CEO of Association of Oil Pipelines. The floor is yours, sir.
When people hear about a pipeline project, they rightfully want to know about pipeline safety, and pipeline operators should be talking about their safety record. They have a lot of good things to say about the record and initiatives. Right now, Dakota Access is in people's mind, and the Corps of Engineers, the federal government itself, study the pipeline compared to other alternatives, other routes of a pipeline, and also possibly not building a pipeline at all. And they found that the best thing for the environment is to build this pipeline. We want the public to know that the men and women of the pipeline industry are working hard to be trained and to do preventative maintenance to stop anything from ever happening. And in the unlikely event of an incident, they're there ready. We see great support for pipelines, including here in North Dakota, where we've got a vocal minority that is paying attention to Dakota Access. I'm hopeful that in the next couple of weeks, the last federal easement that is needed is necessary, and we can get this one more pipeline on its way to bringing American energy to more Americans. And thanks for the chance to talk to your audience about it today.
To listen to the full-length interview with Andy Black, President and CEO of the Association of Oil Pipelines, or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of Kids and Capitalism. I would like to take this time to talk to you about Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. If you are looking to buy or sell a home, you need to give Hatch Realty a call today. Hatch Realty is the number one real estate team in North Dakota, according to the Wall Street Journal, and is featured in Inc. Magazine's 5,000 Fastest Growing Private Companies in America. Eric Hatch has been endorsed by Barbara Corcoran from the hit show Shark Tank. He was voted Best Real Estate Agent by the firm of Fargo Moorhead, is an Alumni Association Horizon Award winner from North Dakota State University, and the host of Real Estate Radio. When buying or selling real estate, there is only one company to call, and that's Hatch Realty. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Give Eric Hatch and Hatch Realty a call today at 701-212-1572. Again, that's 701-212-1572. Or check them out online at livefargomoorhead.com. Again, that's livefargomoorhead.com. Hatch Realty, in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate.
The oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.
Welcome back to Building the Bakken Radio, heard in the Crude Life Media Network. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm your host today. In our next segment, we talk with Doug Burgum, entrepreneur, philanthropist, and gubernatorial candidate for North Dakota.
As long as we're talking about the budget numbers a little bit, the trend has been for the last 15 years for governors to increase their budgets.
Right.
I think there might be one or two examples where there was a 5% cut. I think at one point, Governor Hovind then had a 5% cut, and I think maybe the last budget might have been down. But the trend has been to increase the governor's budget. What does a budget look like under a Burgum gubernatorial administration?
Well, I think it's just going to have to face the reality. I mean, Governor Dalrymple has already ordered the departments to start looking at a 10% reduction, versus last time. So we know that the starting point is going to be down from the last session. It's just a question of how far it's going to be. And I think, again, we aren't going to have additional economic information until after June 14th. We know we're going to have a new revenue forecast, made in August, but right now, again, we've been missing by a lot, not a little. I mean, in March, 2 years ago, the revenue that came in the state was $204 million. This March, it was $98 million, 52% off. And April was, similar thing. So these aren't 4% or 10% misses. I mean, we're missing substantially, because when the price of oil went down, not only did the oil extraction production taxes went down, but we also saw a huge drop in sales tax, and then we've seen a drop in corporate income tax, and seeing a drop in personal income tax. So the model, that was being used to forecast didn't encompass the ripple effect, through all the different forms of tax revenue. And then it also didn't account for the fact that we were going to end into a cycle of being really down in ag commodity prices, because every ag producer in the state, across the state, including the northwestern part of the state, they're all looking at cost of production that's going to be higher than what their expected revenue is going to be. And if you're staring down that barrel, you're not buying a new truck, you're not buying a new combine, probably spending, our family's still is in the grain elevator and agronomy business. And so we know, farmers even, they even sometimes buy, less fertilizer and chemical if they feel like they put less inputs in if they think they're not going to get as much out. So everything is down in our economy right now. Unfortunately, both oil and agriculture are heading down at the same time. And that's really causing a double whammy for the state of North Dakota's revenues.
Do you see a ripple coming through with that? I mean, I wrote an article called The Reverse Ripple, and it had to do with oil, meaning that when oil prices came up, we felt the ripple all the way through to, you couldn't find a tank in Fargo Tank.
Right.
Minneapolis was a huge success of the economic boom in North Dakota. Now we're kind of seeing the reverse ripple on that. Do you feel the ag and we'll call it mining of oil, is going to have a reverse ripple through the state?
Well, you know, during this downturn, I mean, I think it's already happening. As you take a look at, I know in communities that I've been traveling through in the in the Bakken, I mean, I'm traveling on the ground. I'm staying in hotels. I'm asking people, hey, tell me about your occupancy. I mean, people are, saying, hey, we're at 25%, but they're at 25%, but they're at half the rack rate that they were 2 years ago. So if they've gone from $200 a night to, $99 a night at 25%, they're actually trying to run that motel at 1/8 the revenue. Mm-hmm. And if they built it during the Bakken premium, I mean, the people are hurting. And so it's a question of, I mean, part of that ripple effect is what's going to do to the real estate market, whether it's home prices or, commercial real estate, hotels, apartment buildings. I mean, it appears that in some cases we've got overcapacity, and that overcapacity is, some of that's going to be picked up, that slack can be picked up by dropping prices until it meets demand, but we just, we may, until we see activity pick up, we may have overbuilt.
To listen to the full-length interview with Doug Burgum or to listen to other Building the Bakken features, visit buildingthebakken.com. That's buildingthebakken.com. My name is Jason Spies, and this is Building the Bakken Radio, heard on the Crude Life Media Network.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBI Energyservices.com.